Well, what's this? I'm only going to record a podcast, aren't I? Do you know, I opened my podcasting app with the idea of recording a message for like a minute saying, I've not forgotten you, but I've been battered. I like his car. What's that? Some sort of Mitsubishi people carrier. No, not people carrier, like off-roader. Anyway, but then in the process of watching the app load, I was like, I could do a bit more. And I could. So here I am. Let me apologize. I sort of neglected to record a podcast because life took over in a really cool way. I had to go on vacation. I had to go on vacation all the way to the Galapagos Islands. And vacation is the American word for holiday. I just like to keep it simple, you know, for the American audience. So I had the best 2.5 weeks in Ecuador and the Galapagos. It was truly, truly a special time and I loved it. And I played golf just before. Played a really tough track here in Panama. Scraped it around in 80. And that was good, you know. I made two stupid doubles. I remember that game. One was because I decided it'd be a really good idea to try a different 3-wood in my bag without having hit it before. And on reflection, that wasn't a great way of making a good golf score. So I topped a ball twice on one hole. Once was into water. So I actually managed quite a good double. Topped the ball off the tee. Put the next ball in water with a topped 3-wood. And made double from there. So, you know, pretty solid as well. And then I think the last double was on the last hole. And it was just, you know, dick move golf. Then played again after my holiday, almost straight away. Much easier course. Played much better golf, but was as rusty as. And shot 75. Had really good day. Like, I think I went out in 40, came back in 35 with a birdie on the last to come back under the card. For the back nine and learned something about my swing. And I'm not saying I found it, but it was a feeling that I've had before in my game. The old me, the pro golfer me, would have hit the range hard after it, you know, constantly to try and work out how to keep that swing feel alive. The new wannabe amateur golfer in me doesn't do that, because that's not a sustainable way of me managing my golf career. So I've got this feeling. I've took a few swings with my orange whip with it. It's good, sustainable feeling. It's one I've used all my golf career, but it's one of those things I've tried to get back more than once, and I feel like I've found a swing thought that's a feeling to rediscover, and it just gives me quite a boring golf game, but that's what I want at the moment. It's just this gives me a really repeatable shot that I like to hit, a go-to shot, but it's such a good go-to. I really, like, kind of don't hit anything else when it's working, which is kind of like a flat draw that just, you know, Greg Norman talks about for his whole career with his driver. Sorry, I'm just reversing the car. He used to set up at the left-hand side of the fairway, take a certain stance and hit the ball as hard as he could. And if it was a bad shot, it went to the right-hand side of the fairway. And if it was a good shot, it went to the middle of the fairway. And he never missed left. And I thought that's kind of a good way of playing golf. Except I play with a hook, so it's basically, I do that, but the right-hand side of the fairway. And I can translate that to my irons as well. And I have a couple of clubs in my bag that I can put a similar swing onto it, and it gives me a slight fade, and they are set up to do that. My 3-wood and my my gap wedge, my old 50 degree. And it just about gives me enough. I should probably try and find a sort of 5E6 iron replacement to do something similar. And I will if I can keep this going for next month or so. I enjoyed my golf the other day, and I'm going to try and get back out again early next week. I enjoyed the Galapagos too. I literally just got off the phone with Alex from Orca Golf, who told me some really important stuff. Do you know what he told me? He told me he's having dinner with his girls, and could he call me back in 2 hours? And that's awesome. Do you know why? Because I love people who've got the courage to say no or fuck off. He didn't say that too. He's far too polite. He said God bless and everything. He's a proper Christian, not like me. But yeah, I wanted to just keep you guys alive in podcast world. If I sound croaky, I'm an asthmatic person, and I have what's called seasonal asthma, and that means my asthma comes and goes, and it's arrived with a vengeance, big time. It's never been this bad, which has, you know, done great for my running career. I guess that was the second thing I wanted to talk to you about, sort of my running, but in parallel with that, it was yesterday I had to do my first 28-minute run. Now, previously, that would have been a shoe-in 5K for me at my old pace. I was feeling like crap for two reasons. One, the asthma, and two, I'd done a run straight after we got back from from our holiday. And I'd not run on holiday. It was an active holiday in the Galapagos, like snorkeling every day and stuff like that. So I didn't feel hugely out of shape, but just hadn't been running. But I thought I'd power through. Like, you can't hurt me, is my attitude. And you, being Guy, you can't hurt me, my goals. I can't knock myself off track. I just can't. It's impossible. So what I did was I just went out and crushed it. And I really did. It killed me, and I really felt, my legs felt sore the day after. So that was all right. You know, that was okay. But what it meant for me was the next run, the 28-minute, which was 3 minutes more than I'd ever run before. I knew it was going to be tough, and my asthma had really just kicked off a little more. And I was like, you can't hurt me. Am I going to die at the end of this? No, because I've got my inhaler on me. I'm going to wreck it before I just go and run. So I did 6 puffs, went straight out and ran. And instead of, it should have been a shoe-in 5K, and I did about 4.5. So I did slightly less than I was doing in 25 minutes 3 weeks ago. In 28 minutes, and I'm putting that down to the asthma. It just has taken it out of me. But here's some good news for you all. You can do it, guys. You, like, whatever your goals are, whatever your golfing goals or life goals, don't let life get in the way of you. Just do it. He says, walking past a Nike store. But I mean it. I tell my kids, because sometimes they come out to run with me. You know, the hardest part about going out for a run is putting your shoes on. Once you've got your shoes on and you're out the house, kind of the rest is quite easy. And once you're out running, I've learned that running is so mental and not physical. Like, physically, even today after that big run, and I know this is big by my standards, not other people's, but after that big run, I'm not really that sore. I'm aware I've got legs, but they're not in agony. And
during the run, I was just like, I've just got to do it. And it was a mental battle. There was part of me going, oh, you're so tired, you could stop. Oh, your asthma. Oh, it's such a long way. Oh, it's getting dark. Oh, you're too fat to fly. And all of this stuff, giving myself a reason that I could tell someone to stop. I just shat on those ideas. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to. I'm gonna tell myself I can do it, and I'm gonna do it. And all I've got to do is do what is obviously a run for the next 2.5 minutes. It doesn't matter what pace it's at, as long as it's a run. And then 2.5 minutes, it's over. I walk around, cooling down for 5 minutes, stretch, run my head under a tap, and I'm good. And then I just wake up tomorrow and do it again. I actually run every other day, but that's what I was telling myself. And I did it. And it's unusual for me to actually fucking crush a goal like that. And so I am, like, you know, that goes in my mental bank. So next time I'm feeling like crap, I just tell myself, you did it. You did it once before, you can do it again. So I'm, like, really grateful that run hurt. Like, I wish it hurt more, because then I would have finished it. And I'd have even more currency in my mental bank to crush it the next time. And I'm sounding like one of those self-help healer types. And maybe that's all right. But how does that apply to your golf game? I think the biggest thing is, if you're practicing for something and it's cold and it's wet, fucking just get out there and do it. Like, I've had times, because I find it easy to practice golf. Even when I was a kid, I was like, it's freezing cold, it's almost dark, I need to hit some balls. I literally just thought, I'm going to go and hit 20 balls. That's all I'm going to do, is I'm going to hit 20 balls. And I'm just going to take my favourite club, I'm going to hit 20 balls. And I've done it, I've hit 20 balls and gone, fuck it, I want to hit another 20, now I'm here. And suddenly you've had a good practice, right? Even if it's just with one club. I'm always learning. Always learning with one club. And, you know, for example, I will go to the range with just a wedge, which is my favourite wedge. And people say, oh, you know, that block practice has no point, that hit in one shot. I understand the biomatic, the psychology behind that, but I disagree with you. Because, give you an example, I've got a swing I do with my 60-degree wedge, where it feels like my hands go, I swing with no wrist break, and my hands go as high as my shoulders. I know it won't look like that if I did it, but that's how it feels to me. I do that swing, and the ball flies between 59 and 62 yards every single time. And going to the range and proving that to myself for half an hour by hitting half an hour's worth of balls, that has value. So, because it's just telling myself, look, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. If it's balls flying a bit further, it's telling myself, why is that ball flying a bit further or shorter or left or right? Do I just own this? Do I just accept today that the ball's going a bit to the left? Is this something I need to work on? You know, if I notice the ball's going a bit left, what tweak can I make so it goes exactly where I want it? And there's reasons you do that. And let me tell you that. I normally wouldn't suggest to someone you tweak your swing on the course or tweak your grip or something. But say you've noticed you're hitting everything left, right? Or even half of your wedge shots have gone left. You know, you've just got that, oh, I hope I don't miss this left vibe. You know, if you put the ball back in your stance or something, it's much more likely you're going to miss right. That gives you some confidence to hit the shot. And it's that simple. So look, I've told you about my running. I've told you about why I took a break from the podcast. There's one more reason. I'll tell you about the podcast break after this. I told you about my current state of my golf game. I've given you a really solid idea to improve your golf game. Which is the value of block practice and how you can use practicing for a short period of time with just one club and what you can get out of it. Distance control, I think, is the number one thing and maybe you can learn some damage limitation skills. So I'm pretty much done. But I told you the there was one reason the podcast hadn't come. The next reason is I've just been really busy with work. I told you I was teaching English to kids in China over the internet, and I love it. And if any of you guys need a side hustle, please drop me a line. You know, you can just email me, gc@impactgolf.net is the first email address that comes to mind. Email me and I can try and hook you up. Oh, I'm happy to tell you about it because I love it. My company's always recruiting. And yeah, I get some money for that, but you know what? Who cares? I don't get money for mentioning it. I get money if you get hired, which, you know, look, we all know you're a thick fuck, so it's not likely. Anyway, my company's been really busy because of this virus. And it's just something to let you know. These kids in China I teach have not been outside of their house since January. Now, I've heard today some students are now venturing outside. A really funny story. So another teacher of mine said their parents decided they'd take a risk and go out. And do you know what they did? The first thing they did when they went out, they went and bought a KFC, which I thought was fucking amazing. Anyway, my asthma's kicking off again, which is God's way of telling me to shut the fuck up. So, this virus thing, it's a big deal. It's really impacted my work because these kids are at home. I'm giving private English classes over the internet. So that means I've just had a ton of work, which is fantastic, obviously, because I'm freelance and money and just general the good vibe of being busy. But the flip side of that, can you imagine if you're a parent what it's been like for these kids and these families to have their kids locked up in your house, apartment, mansion, bedsit, camper van for the best part of 2 months? I don't need to take the extra classes, and I'm going to be honest, I don't need the extra money either. The only reason I have done is I'm a parent and it just seemed like the right thing to do. Because I just felt so sorry for these families. And like, they were saying, please help us, we'll even pay you. And I was like, yeah, of course I'll help. Hopefully things are calming down in China, but Brixton's burning down, Brighton's burning up, to paraphrase the best British rapper there ever has been. The original line is London Bridge is burning down, but Brixton's burning up. Just so you know, I hadn't forgotten it. I was trying to make it funny and virus related, but Brighton was one of the places early on that got the... Anyway, right, it's probably definitely time for me to shut the fuck up. I'll be back much more focused soon. Until then, ciao.